Father, we just thank you that since the beginning of time, your world and your word has inspired us. We pray that we would meet you as we look in your word today. Amen. So when Pastor John mentioned these three stories, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, he said that the first two, the lost coin and the lost sheep, were simple stories. And the lost son was more complex. And then he volunteered to do the first two stories. Which is okay. Because I had to read all three just in case. And what he said in the last 2 weeks about God seeking us and our value and how we should celebrate when someone comes to him, that was really good. But that's not what I thought. The story of the lost coin, where the woman has 10 coins and she loses one and she looks for it until she finds it. My first thought was, well, you know, somewhere in the back of some guy's head, way back there, he's sitting back thinking, that's why you don't let women handle the money. The lost sheep had something to do with 99 very upset sheep who weren't lost, but were left alone in an open field. So thank you that I didn't have to speak on either one of those. But I did have one question. Woman has 10 coins, and she loses one, and she looks for it, and she finds it. Well, why is that story even in the Bible? You lose your wallet. You look for it. You find it. Duh. That's normal. Everybody does that. Out of all the things that God could have put in his word, why did he put that story in there? And it led to what's going to be spoken about today. Why would he add this to the story of the prodigal son? The older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music, and he called one of the servants, and he asked what was going on, and he said, your brother's come, and your father's going to celebrate, because he's back, safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he said to his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you haven't even given me a young goat to kill so that I can celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours, who squandered everything with prostitutes and partying, has come home and you're throwing a party. Well, why is that in there? Well, of all the books in the Bible, Luke is the one that is the easiest to answer that question. Because Luke tells why he writes these things. He was writing to his friend Theophilus, and he said this. He said, I have written these things so that you may know for certain the things that you've been taught. So the things in Luke are there so that we could know for certain the things that we have been taught. And so these three stories start with a complaint. The Pharisees and the teachers muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That was the complaint. That's what started this whole story, this whole chapter 15 going, was a complaint. But the Pharisees, see, they thought they were doing what was best. Because they wanted to stay clean. They wanted to stay pure. They wanted to stay ritualistically righteous. And so they separated themselves from anybody who wasn't. And that was the easiest way. And monks did that too, you know. Society's so evil, we just have to get out of here. We'll go somewhere where there isn't people. As if that can happen. But they also had the Old Testament, which kind of suggested the same kind of thing. Psalm 1, the first verse. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. And so you can see this pattern where you, like in the story, oh, I met a stranger, you start walking with him, and then you're standing with him, and then the next thing you're sitting with him, and you're eating. And it's so easy to get dragged down into a level of unholiness, let's say. And so the solution was to just stay away from everybody. And they took the Ten Commandments, and they wrapped up it up into 613 laws that if you obeyed, that you would be righteous. And so you had to stay away from those people who weren't righteous. And this is where the Pharisees nailed Jesus, basically. They were indignant because Jesus had healed somebody on the Sabbath. And the synagogue ruler said, there's 6 days to work. Come get healed on one of those days. Don't heal people on the Sabbath, Jesus. If you were a righteous person, if you were following the law, you would not do that. You had to keep yourself separate. Well, disciples even thought the same way. The people did not welcome them. People did not welcome Jesus. And when disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Now, there is a solution. I kind of like that solution. I have some people that I know that would benefit from this solution. However, the best example is what Paul did. Paul the Apostle, he says, I'm a Jew trained in the law of our fathers, and I was zealous for God, just like anybody else is. And what did I do with my zealousness? I persecuted the followers of the way to their death, and I arrested both men and women. And throughout history, you see the same thing. The church has had the same problem. We have to deal with people who are not like us. Think of the Crusades. Oh, let's go rescue Jerusalem from the Turks and the Muslims. Oh, and if you see any Jews, that doesn't matter if you take them out either. And by the way, if you swing by Constantinople, where the Orthodox Christians live, you can take out as many of those as you want, too. That was the solution. You have the Catholic and Protestant fight in Europe. That was the solution. And these are just the people who are supposed to know better. This is the church. These are the ones who are supposed to be an example to everybody. Then you go to who they were supposed to deal with. Well, how, if you're living like that, how can you even deal with anybody in the world? In the story of the son who was lost, the prodigal son. The prodigal just means someone who takes all their money and spends it as soon as they get it. And I guess with credit cards, you can even spend your money before you get it now. And so the stories that Jesus told here reflect his attitude in the world. And they're his response to this thing that the whole world had, which was to separate themselves from each other. To say, if you're not like us, then you need to be destroyed, or you need to be hurt, or you need to be shunned, or you need to be put aside somewhere. And then you go into the world, which was what Jesus did, and you find these people. And the complaint that the son had was, I'm wasting away here. I need to get out into the world. I need to do stuff. I need to do something that's not where I am. I need to look for the grass that's greener on the other side of the hill. And that's a complaint. He complained. Father, I got to get out of here. Give me what's mine. And people haven't changed because the rock group Queen wrote a song that says, I want it all. And one of the lines is, I want it all and I want it now. Just give me what I know is mine. Which sounds just like something that was written 2,000 years ago about a story that Jesus told. It was a self-centered thinking. And people were only good if they could get you something. And then the brother comes along and he says, all these years I've been slaving for you and I've got nothing from it. What about me? I'm putting all this effort in. What about me? How come I'm not getting what I want? He got what he wanted. How come I'm not getting what I want? And in each of these stories, the potential of rejecting the effort was there. See, it's easy to think that people are not worth the effort. I still have 9 coins. I don't need to find the other one. As someone once said to me, you can always make more money. I don't need to look for it. It's not worth it. I have 99 sheep left. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I really lost the one sheep. Every time I try to count them, I fall asleep. I don't have to treat my son like my son. I can treat him like a servant. Everybody wins. He's home, I'm glad. He asked for a job, he's got a job, he's glad. His other brother's not all upset because I treated him unfairly, so he's happy. So all of us are happy, and that would have been the solution. See, he had the power, the father had the power to reject his son. To say, oh, you just want to work for me? I will treat you like a worker. Just as God had the power to reject us when we turned from him. But Scripture tells us that God did not send his son into the world to condemn us, but that through him we would be saved. And that's the lesson that Paul learned. The Paul that was out having Christians executed found out that if I don't have love, I have nothing. And instead of thinking exclusively of themselves, and that people only have value for what they can do for me, Jesus exampled a better way. He said, others are worth the effort. And that's why we get together, because we believe that as a group, others are worth our effort. And that's not an easy thing to do, and it's not an easy thing to think, because that's not the way the world thinks. People aren't people anymore, they're human resources. Their only value is what they can do for the company. They're not thought of as people anymore. And if you're in the human resources department, I'm sorry. People are not resources. People are people. And Paul, again, was the best example of this because before Jesus, Paul had power. He could do whatever he wanted to, and everybody looked up to him. But with Jesus, he found out something that was not necessarily what he was looking for. And this is, if I was to write an ad for someone to become a Christian, this would be it. This would be it. And this is what Paul said. I've worked harder as a Christian. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. I want that. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. They believed if you hit somebody 40 times, they'd die, so you only hit them 39. 5 times that happened to them. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea just floating around. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from the rivers, from bandits, from my countrymen, from the Gentiles, from in the city, in the country. I've labored and toiled, and I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've gone without food. I've been cold and naked, and yes, that's what I want to do with my life. I am a Christian. Because for Paul, people were worth the effort. And sometimes we really, really don't put much effort into things. Sometimes we think that we can give until it becomes sacrificial in our time and in our energy and in our life, that we can help others. And then we stop once it becomes a sacrifice. And that's where Jesus started. So what happened was the Pharisees were there to enforce the law. These are the things you need to do to be righteous. And what Jesus did was he lived the law. And he says, this is who you are. Be righteous. And so what are we supposed to do? Well, Paul's instruction to the church at Philippi kind of addresses any concern that Philophilus had at the start, because the book was written for him. Luke was written to answer his concerns. And he just said this. He said, "Let your attitude be the same as Jesus." Amen.